Welcome to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner, where we're committed to helping you think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. And now, get ready for the eMind.
Let me ask you, have you ever been through a challenge that you never wanted? What you have.
Yeah, multiple times.
We're going to learn from Summer about this incredible journey that she's been through and how she stays positive and even what's happening at Cedarville and entrepreneurship and her future. So Summer, glad to have you.
Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah. So I met you, I'll never forget it. I met you when I taught adjunct last spring, first time ever. And I was really praying about, do I readjust my whole life to come to Cedarville and teach regularly? And you were part of the answer. Yes.
I'm just that amazing.
You are that amazing. Honestly. So you were in this class, digital marketing.
The future of digital marketing.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk briefly about that. We'll get into your journey, but what kind of like stuck out to you about that whole class?
Yeah. I mean, a few things. One, the topics, they were stuff that like I didn't know about. So like going over digital marketing and social marketing or social media marketing, like I grew up with social media. Mm-hmm. So a lot of those words I know about, but the amount of times I had to open up a separate tab in this other class and Google a word,
yes.
didn't know what it meant. But I think what was really cool was the discussions of like how we talked about the future of digital marketing and mm-hmm. how it related to scripture in the Bible's talking about like virtual reality.
Yes.
And how that plays into scripture and how that can affect people later on, like looking at stuff more than just, oh yeah, this is cool, but like let's look at both the pros and the cons of something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the transitional levels like augmented reality and stuff like that. Mm. That was really cool. I liked learning, like we didn't really do a lot of like cramming and studying for stuff. We just had a lot of great conversations and I can still like whip out vocab words that I learned in that class because like it was a really good structure and it was a 7 to 10 PM. And that sounds like super fine for a college kid, but like my bedtime is like 9.
I hear you.
And so like, that was the one thing that I would stay up for though. Cause I was excited to go.
That is cool.
Yeah.
Well, you had this energy too in the class, which makes teaching exciting. And the first day I drove home at 11:10, I got home because we would even chat after a little bit, but I got home almost at midnight and I just said, wow, if these young people are this excited and on fire, I gotta be part of this. So I prayed about it and, you know, asked you all. I was very open. I'm like, what do you think? Would I be good here? Is this a bad thing? What do you think? And you all were so good.
We used marketing on you.
Yeah, you did. You did.
we sold you on it.
And you did get a social media post about my bald head one time.
I did.
TikTok. Remember that?
I asked for approval.
You did. You did. I was like, go for it. I was like, go for it. That is funny. Because I think it was windy.
Yeah.
And everyone's hair was blowing except mine.
No, only your shirt. And so there's different type of like ways of knowing it's windy. All of us with our hair.
And then your shirt. You. I like that. That's good. Well, even though you have such positive energy, and by the way, I don't know if you know this, but my company has 4 core values, GPSS, okay, GPSS, growth-minded grit, positive optimism, show up, filled up, and servant leadership. But positive optimism is something you ooze,
I'm really good at it.
And the whole faculty here knows about it, but you had something happen years ago.
Sophomore year.
Tell us the story.
Yeah. So the fall of my sophomore year around like, September, I got COVID and,
it's been like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
About 2 years ago.
Yeah. I didn't like think anything of what was going on, but I started after having COVID and, you know, all that, I had trouble swallowing. And I thought it was just one of those symptoms that like, you know, people talk about like, oh, I got COVID and this happened.
Right. Couldn't smell. Couldn't, all that stuff.
Yeah, so I just thought it was one of those things. But then it started getting worse. And when I went home for winter break, I told my parents about it. And I was like, something is going on. Mm-hmm. And so we just went to my primary care physician. I just went for a checkup and to see if there was anything like suspicious. Maybe I need my tonsils removed, you know, whatever. Normal things that you would think. And I made a joke in the doctor's office because my two of my uncles, my cousin, and my grandma have all had lymphoma, a type of lymphoma. And it's not known to be genetic.
Okay.
So there's that fun little
tidbit. Yeah.
But I made a joke in the doctor's office. I was describing my symptoms and everything. And I was like, I don't know, it could be cancer. And my mom's sitting there like, you don't have cancer. And then I did.
Wow. When did you find it? How soon after that?
I had an ultrasound of my neck over winter break. And I came back to school for spring semester. It was like January, the first day back on campus. I was sitting in my macroeconomics class in the Apple building on campus. And I got a phone call from my doctor's office. And so I stepped out in the hallway and I took it. And I knew it was going to be bad because my doctor, she's amazing. But she goes, you know, I'm looking at your scans. And if you need me to call your mom after this and explain things, I can. And I was like, oh, crap. It's going to be bad. And she was like, so I'm looking at your scans and we see a 4x5x4 centimeter mass wrapped around your carotid artery. And I was like,
oh, gosh.
Okay. And she kept talking, but I just blacked out after that.
Wow.
I was just blank. So at that point, though, technically it's not cancer. It's a mass. You have to get a biopsy. So my parents were actually already on campus. I had gotten a CT the day before. That was the scan she was looking at. So I walked back to my dorm, which is a 2-minute walk from Apple, but it felt like 30 minutes. It was like I was just trying not to cry. And I had to go back into the classroom too to get my backpack. Wow. And so I was like, hold it in. Got to my room, FaceTime my mom, and I just broke and threw me crying. She kind of knew what was up.
Yeah.
And came back, packed my stuff, went home, just an overnight things because I didn't know how long I'd be home for. And when I got the biopsy, there was nothing much I could do at that point. So I came back to school. And then a few weeks later, I found out that it was just classical Hodgkin's lymphoma. So then my life changed.
Yeah. Gee. Yeah. So how old were you?
When I was diagnosed, I was 19.
Okay.
Which sounds really weird, but technically I'm considered an adult at 19. And so I had to give approval to all my doctors to talk to my mom. Cause they're asking me all these questions.
Right.
And I had no idea. I had just, started college recently. I had just become legally an adult at 18. And so I was they're asking me all these insurance things and living will, power of attorney, and all of these big words that you hear in movies.
Yeah.
When something really bad happens. And so I was very petrified. And then there was also the coping mechanisms. Mine was, I just tried to disassociate. I was as long as I don't. So I watched a lot of Netflix movies. I didn't want to kind of be where I was at for a little bit. Mm-hmm. My mom took control. Her big thing was taking control of appointments and all that. Cause she couldn't control what was happening to her daughter.
Gotcha.
Gee.
Okay. So that's that spring semester that this all happens. Then I guess would be last year.
Yeah.
So I didn't know you in last fall. Mm-mm. But what kind of happened that fall? And then talk to when we met and then when we were present.
So my treatment protocol, I did, first things first is I did IVF because
which
chemo
stands for,
in vitro fertility.
Okay.
Chemo can affect your fertility. And so I went through the IVF process to freeze eggs, which at 19 and no boyfriend or anything, no relationships.
Wow.
It's very weird.
Yeah.
And with your mom going with you to appointments. So I went with my one of my best friends to one of my appointments, and she's a nurse too. So she was asking all the questions cause I didn't know what to ask.
Yeah.
And then I started chemo. Wow. I did, 4 rounds of chemo, which is 8 total treatments. They're spaced out over 2 weeks. Mm. And then I did an immunotherapy trial. It was a clinical trial with Cleveland Clinic. And I did that. It was about 6 weeks.
Okay.
And then around September-ish, I got an email from Leukemia Lymphoma Society. And they are a nonprofit who raises money for blood cancer awareness. Mm-hmm. They raise money for research to hopefully find a cure one day. They raise money for patient programs, for advocacy, for policies, for so many things.
Okay.
Because cancer, I like to say, is both inconvenient and expensive.
Mm.
And my dad teaches in Cleveland. Like, he has great insurance, and I was smart enough to get cancer while on his insurance.
But
copays add up, medical bills add up. It's very expensive. So they have a copay reimbursement program that I was a part of. They have, sometimes they can send you a gas card to help with trips to and back from hospitals. Cause I live only 40 minutes from Cleveland Clinic, but some people live hours and hours and hours.
And during this time too, cause I just saw, fast forward, I just saw a recent television interview, but there was a, I don't know, a charity that sponsored you or something?
Charity that...
Well, remember that, that television thing?
Yes. So that's LLS.
Okay.
I got a couple of grants through a bunch of them. So LLS sent me a couple of grants. Colin Cares is a foundation that started in my hometown.
Okay.
They sent me a grant to help with bills. They add up, but LLS, they had reached out to me. They have a program called the Student Visionaries of the Year. And it's a program where high school students, go through a 7-week fundraising period, fundraising for, Leukemia Lymphoma Society.
Wow.
And it was just inspiring, but I'm in college. So I was like, you know, what am I doing in this? And they asked me if I would be their honored hero for 2022. And I didn't really know what that entailed. And so I asked them, and they were like, well, what it would be is, you know, you would share your story to the high school students. You send in some videos to just encourage them along the way through their fundraising goals. But it's basically, it puts a face to their goal. So
instead of just being like, we're raising money,
it's like, now they can we're see, raising hey, money to save whales. That's there a great cause. But say you have like someone standing in front of you, though, like I lived this, I went through this. They also had the opportunity to ask questions. So they asked me tons of questions, and some I never even thought of, which was just like also kind of a healing moment for me, too. I could work through my own stuff. But I said yes, and it was like the best experience ever because these high school students, I mean, they are sophomores and juniors and seniors in high school and there were about 30 of them. Okay. They raised over $800,000 in 7 weeks.
All right, let's talk about that.
Yeah.
Because this whole podcast is called The E-Mind and how to think like an entrepreneur and gain an exponential advantage.
Yeah.
You've kind of been around some of the entrepreneur classes now. What do you think they did that was entrepreneurial to do? Because if this was a business, to say that they raised $800,000 in a startup in 7 weeks, that's even mind-blowing. But how do you think they tapped into the entrepreneurial skills?
I think there were two main things that they did that then could motivate everything else. The one was they like hushed everyone's comments. So, you know, oh, you're a high schooler. Yeah, you could probably do a bake sale, you know, like they hushed all those comments. They didn't think of them because part two was they knew what their motivation was.
So they had a huge why.
Exactly.
That was way bigger than just, hey, we need to.
And it was bigger than them. Like they each one of the students could pick what's called a pillar. So they were fundraising for either patient advocacy, policies, or research. And that pillar became their passion. And that was their motivation. Mm. But then also they utilized their skills. So they didn't try to be a corporate CEO and go to business meetings because that wasn't them. They were high school students. So, Cal, who was in that news clip yeah. that you saw. He was the runner-up
That's right.
that year, and he threw a huge basketball game.
That's
he
right.
Plays basketball. Threw a huge basketball game, had this well-known basketball team that's like in the area and travels and stuff and does different fundraisers, come out and compete against them, sold tickets. They did like, you know,
raffles
concessions,
or something,
like,
maybe.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like they utilized what they were already good at and just put it on a new podium.
That's
and
cool.
It was insane. A big thing too, that a bunch of them did, their high school students, they created social media pages. So I follow, one of the teams was Bruins Beat Cancer. So they all came up with a team name, the students would, and they utilized their social media skills, their story skills. They utilized all the events that goes on in their schools. And they just pushed through all that stuff. They also utilized all their connections. So yeah, their high school friends may not have a lot of money, but their high schoolers' parents might, or their parents know people, or they work at, you know, a smoothie joint in town who wants to give. But another thing too is they never like only searched for that big donor.
Gotcha.
Like it was whether you can give a dollar or $1,000, like every penny counts.
Wow.
And that was like my big thing with them was like, you don't, when you're going through cancer and when you're going through treatments, the last thing you want to think about are finances. And so they were able to help so many other patients not have to think about that. And hopefully one day never have to think about that because there's a cure.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
I love that. So we talk about in the book, The E-Mind, which is coming out here in a few months, but we talk about risk and we say embarrassment is your ally. So like they didn't know if this basketball thing was going to work.
Three people could have showed up.
That's right. But they took risk.
Yeah.
Another thing is independence. No one's coming to save you. They didn't wait for the big corporate.
Yeah.
I'll write a, you know, $50,000 check. Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Okay. So now let's go into the personal. So maybe somebody's watching this and like, okay, I don't even know if God exists, but he certainly isn't caring for me.
Mm-hmm.
I have lymphoma. Like, you know, you could have gone into the very dark place maybe you even did. I don't know. But, how do you, cause I mean, it's not over yet.
No, I actually recently was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. So part two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that linked? Is this totally
totally different?
What? So you just got diagnosed with thyroid cancer.
Yeah. So that's going to be a surgery over winter break. I pushed it off so I could finish my capstone.
Wow. So right now people might be like, oh my gosh, this isn't the end of the story.
Yeah.
So how do you stay positive?
I mean, you said it. So my cousin who was diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, she gave me a piece of advice when I was diagnosed and I held on to it. She told me, don't go dark. And that means a lot of things. But your mental health and your, like, the way you view things, it truly does affect how you see life and your health, your recovery. And so, yeah, I was 19 and I was going through cancer. And I had moments, like, it's okay to have moments. There were days when, like, I would just cry, like, just burst into tears. And my mom would try to make me feel better. And I'm like, right now, I really just need to like admit today sucks and just kind of sit in that. It's just not letting yourself remain there. And I've said it so many times, but it's like going through what I did and still going through it. If I did not have God, I understand why people turn to alcohol and to drugs and to so many other things to try to fill a hole, because if I didn't have God, it would have been a different story. I don't even want to like have to think about it. And thankfully I don't have to.
Yeah.
But
let's talk about that for a moment, because I believe that I didn't go through that. But I believe that I went through some difficult things.
Yeah.
And I know other people who haven't gone through difficult things, and no judgment on them. But I feel like you,
yeah,
maybe me, I feel like you, whatever, whether it's a greater gratitude, a greater appreciation,
yeah,
a maturity, like I think God allows things. And I would say this to you as a promise, God doesn't waste pain.
No, agreed.
You've been through a lot of pain. As a result, there's a big assignment. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I've never known anyone to go through pain that's just like, oh, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that God has a big assignment for you. And that, that doesn't make it easier. It doesn't make it, I'll be like, oh, well, now I can go through it. But but there is a promise on the other side. What do you think?
I think both. I think the one thing that I learned going through this, though, is that comparison is your enemy. So when I first got diagnosed, I didn't reach out to friends as much.
Okay.
And I didn't really ask people how they were doing because, you know, they would respond either with great or with like, oh, you know,
maybe my food was cold today. And you're like, oh my gosh.
My first initial reaction was like, well, at least you don't have cancer.
And right.
I hated that reaction because the big thing like that I realized was, yes, when you look at scales, getting cancer versus going through a breakup.
Yeah.
One seems a bit worse.
Yeah.
But to the person who's going through the breakup, that might be the worst thing they've ever been through.
Yeah.
And so that's their equivalent version of cancer. And so comparing those hurts, like
you can't do it.
You're belittling their struggle.
Yeah.
And there's power in pain, but there's also power in like not like it's like someone's testimony. Mine has so many hills and valleys. And there's power in that when you're sharing that. But my one friend, Kara, back home, she shared her testimony with me one time when we were in high school. And it was literally, I grew up in the church. I stayed strong in Christ. And I'm still strong in Christ. And that is equally as powerful. Like, yeah. So powerful.
Yeah.
And so it's definitely both. But he never wastes pain. And like, my big thing was like, I'm glad I went through this and not someone else who didn't have the support that I did.
Interesting.
Like,
yeah,
it's the whole, like, God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. Correct. But I feel like there's another like sentence on the back of that. It's with what he's like provided you with, but not only that, the people he's placed in your life.
That's good.
So you place people in my life who have been through what I went through. So like I had a group chat with my uncles and my cousin. If I had got a new side effect, which I got all the weird ones, it was so weird. Like movies tell you, you know, you lose your hair and you throw up. That doesn't happen all the time. So don't believe movies. They lie.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, hey, I got the side effect. Like, did you, you know, and it was so funny because my grandma wasn't in the group chat. She had cancer too, though, but it was back when they thought radiation was better than chemo. So they basically stuck her in the microwave and pressed popcorn.
Wow.
So like, she's fine now. It took her filter for sure, but she's fine. But she wasn't in the group chat and she got a little mad one time. And I was like, first off, you hate group chats. Second off, you didn't get chemo.
Yeah.
But they would respond with like advice or like, oh no, I never got that. Maybe try this.
Sure. So you had like your people.
Yeah.
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 So I know we got to land the plane here in about 2 minutes, but you're in your senior year. You are going to have surgery over the winter. So we're going to definitely keep in prayer and we want to know how that goes.
Yeah.
And let's go super trivial. Like we just had cancer and now we're going trivial, but this is about Cedarville also and about entrepreneurship and what God's doing. Why are you more hopeful if you are hopeful about Cedarville today and what God is doing in the students with business and entrepreneurship and stuff like that? Like that's how we met, you and me. I'm so glad we met, but like you're starting to see Q and, you know, hackathon and like give some words to maybe people who aren't yet students or why do you think Cedarville's here for such a time as this?
I think it's the same thing that I view at the high school is with LLS is like Cedarville is changing a mindset to where they're not viewing them as just college kids. Like
they can do stuff now.
They can do stuff now. That's a big thing. It's like, you're not learning this information to apply it later in life. Some of it, yes, and that's great.
But you could like literally
you can do this now. Exactly. Yeah. Wow. Like, and that's the big thing that I feel like. And it's like some things you do need to learn to prepare yourself for later. 100%. But some things you're like, I feel like college kids, especially nowadays, like we can't just sit like and listen. Like we just are like so antsy. We're like, tell us to do something. So it was like in class, you were like, hop on your phones and we're like, say less, you know? Like, sure. And
but you did that the other day. Yeah. The whole class.
And we all posted reviews for Cedarville.
You 100x'd the Google reviews that took a decade.
Yeah.
You did it in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I'm with you that like you don't learn in that classroom something you're going to do in 4 years. Like you learn for later today. Yeah.
And it was also you. It was because like my generation, we don't give Google reviews. Mm. That just doesn't really happen. But you didn't stop with that. You were like, oh, they're, you know, this age, they're not going to want to give a Google review.
Yeah.
You were like, here's how you do it. Like, let's hop on. Yeah.
Have you found value?
Exactly.
If so, tell, because you could actually help people.
And I think that's a big thing. It's like, it's getting to the point where Cedarville's like, we're like adults are here, but they're kind of stepping back to giving students a platform. So we have student tour guides. So while you're on a tour, you can ask what it's like to be a student. Like I work in the campus store and then we get questions all the time that are like, but you know, we sell great merch.
Good job.
Highly recommend. Sammy's a great designer.
But people come in.
Yeah, people come in and we'll see the visitor, you know, tag or the blue backpack. And we're like, oh, you're on a tour today. And they're like, yeah. And they tell us where they're from, the major. They're asking us questions. The parents are asking us questions because it's another thing to send your kid off to college.
Yeah. I ask questions.
Yeah. And like you get student life advice because it could be a great school, great academics and whatever, but campus life could be terrible.
That's
not Cedarville. Cedarville promotes, I feel like, it's campus life more than it's school because it knows its school is good, but it wants to also be like, hey, while you're here, you're not just a student. Like you're
so
living
good.
Here. We want to make it fun. We want to make it like exciting.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah. Well, I'm taking away that Cedarville's philosophy is to mobilize the students now.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, Summer, you're on social.
Yes.
Where can we follow you?
Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. I need a job.
Yeah. And it's Summer Gray.
Yeah.
We might need to talk. You know I hire people.
I know.
All right. We'll talk
offline. That was my plug right
there.
We'll
talk offline. All right. Well, listen, folks, this was an amazing story. I knew you would love a little bit of Summer. All right. So take care and follow her. And whatever you're going through, I love what you said. We can't compare, but God does not waste pain. I'm taking that one. All right. Thanks so much, Summer.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the eMind Podcast with Dr. Carrie Oberbrunner. We look forward to hearing from you and how you're applying the eMind. Please share your story by submitting a review on your platform of choice. We read every single one. This podcast is sponsored by Igniting Souls and Cedarville University. Visit ignitingsouls.com/eMind and cedarville.edu for more help in your entrepreneurial journey.